guy named Ray who came and joined us one night, and I don't know if Ray had anybody with him. And we were singing and worshiping, and he brought back another guy, I believe in his son.
My son, one of my boys came with me.
Ray's kind of a Baptist, and then he said, I want to bring a Pentecostal friend, so he brought mine. And it was interesting, because Mike and his son came, and we worshiped together, and I think you stayed.
We stayed.
Yeah. So we just had time of fellowship. Well, years went by, quite a few years. Probably.
Yes, sir.
And then later on Facebook, I'm dealing with some people in Pakistan, and I wanted to know somebody who's asking for money, and sometimes missionaries from foreign countries, you've got to really kind of check things. And I noticed Mike's name, which didn't ring a bell, was a friend of his, and on Facebook that doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. So I texted Mike and said, I know this is kind of weird, but this guy that's a friend of yours has been asking me. And Mike gave me some real sound counsel, and we hit it off. And then Mike said he was going to, you know, I wanted to meet him, and he came down to Olive Garden. So unbeknownst to me, we're fellowshipping and with him and his mother, and we're at the Olive Garden, and I met him and really enjoyed him and just felt somehow there was a connection with him. And then Mike, actually, I believe he texted me back or Facebooked me back and said, oh, I don't believe it. I'm the guy at the campsite years earlier that sang with you that night. So it really, really was a neat, how do you say, thing of God really doing the work there. So I just want to introduce a friend of ours. Me and Pastor Jay and Matt went up and ministered at the Milwaukee Mission. And this is a friend, I hope, of yours too. Mike, come on up.
It was quite a delight to have Pastor Mike and Pastor Jay there. And at the rescue mission, the people at the front desk really loved them and thought the world of them, and as well as I do. And I thought it was interesting. One night I was working on some sermon for something, and all of a sudden I go, hey, Pastor Mike, I know where I know this guy. And it just turned out that it was from the campground. Well, my name is Mike Herbert, Michael Herbert. I'm not in the technical titles, so it doesn't matter what you call me. I'm technically an evangelist, but I'm a lot of things. I'm just a brother in the Lord. I have cerebral palsy. I was born that way. I don't know I have it, so if you don't bring it up, I won't know. Yeah, I won't know it either. I just kind of lived with it all my life and doesn't let it bother me. I'm a single parent. I got two boys, 30 and 32. The oldest one's getting married in August, so I've got that to look forward to. I currently do 5 adult prisons in the state of Wisconsin and the juvenile prison, which is a rarity. And the reason why I say that, it's because it's north of Merrill by a half hour. So, I mean, it's a good 4-hour drive. And I make the trip because they have a soul that God put in them. And I believe that through Christ that they can turn their life around. And they may have not had the best scenario. In fact, many of them didn't have fathers, didn't have mothers. It's not uncommon for me to talk to them and find out that many of them have fathers and mothers that are incarcerated and relatives. But yet Christ can be their father and do a miracle in their life and change them around. And there's some good stories to come out of that as well. And I also go to the Milwaukee Rescue Mission most Saturdays. They let me preach there if I just walk in, they just let me. And now they kind of have me on a schedule. Whenever they want me, they just call. But I go there most of the time, and I have a wonderful time. And I had Pastor Mike and Pastor Jay, and I had Matt there, and they ministered really good, and it was really well received by the men. And not uncommon to have 200 guys there to be able to minister to. Yesterday we had 5 men come to Christ. The week before was kind of interesting. I was leading a guy to the Lord, and he accepted Christ, and he was all excited about it. He was teary-eyed and everything, and one of the workers for the rescue mission came up to me and said, do you know who that guy is? And I said, he's the guy that received Christ today. And he said, no, that's cool. But the guy was a devout atheist when he came in for his interview. He said he would never, ever come to Christ. He doesn't want to have nothing to do with our Christianity. Didn't want to have nothing to do with Christ. Didn't want to have nothing to do with salvation. But when you gave the gospel message full of the Holy Ghost, all of a sudden something happened and stirred in his heart and his mind. I'm telling you, there is no one that's beyond the Lord. And then lastly, I do a weekly devotion. If you're interested in receiving it, just get a hold of Pastor Mike or get a hold of Jay and let him know. I do it weekly. It's about three paragraphs. And it's kind of a neat little thing that I do. I love writing, and I just love writing about something, a verse that the Lord gives me, and I just kind of expound on it somewhat. And I have somebody that edits it for me, so it's the spelling errors and all the commas and all that stuff are fixed. I don't know how to do any of that stuff hardly. So, and the videos I have on YouTube are okay, but the ones I have on GodTube, we're at 9,650 hits on those. So people are watching those, and from that, the devotion's being read through the world. I have many readers in Russia, New Zealand, Australia, Canada, England, and it just has come around, and it's God. It's all God. It's not me. And I just said, you know, I love to write. I'll put the stuff out there, and the Lord has done the rest. So I give God praise and glory, and I thank you for letting me be here. I'm an emotional man. I'm very animated, so if I get a little excited, don't call the cops or anything. That's just the way I am, you know. And I love being that kind of person. I was praying on what to share with you this morning, in the midst of everything that I do. And I want to encourage you this morning. So if you have your Bibles, if you could turn to the first chapter of the book of Genesis. I just entitled this, The Seed of the Living God. The Seed of the Living God. Starting in verse 9 is where I start today. Let me know when everybody's there, amen. I loved your praise and worship. I thought it was wonderful. I could sense it. It was just like I started getting teary-eyed. My nose started running. I'm just like, oh, this is wonderful. I got to come up here. I'm all excited. I'm still an old King James guy, but I just read out of a lot of other stuff and put it in there. But that's just who I am. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together onto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. And God called the dry ground earth, and it gathered together of the waters, called he seas, and God saw it, and it was good. And the Lord said, let us make earth, and bring forth grass, and the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw it, and it was good. Heavenly Father, we just come before you and just praise you and thank you for this time. Lord, I thank you, and since the worship here was true, I could sense it in my heart, Lord God, that you were here flowing through the pews of this chapel, Lord, that you were making your way, Lord God, through the hearts of every individual here. Father, let nothing I say be of me, Lord, but let it be all you. May I glorify you today. May I bring honor to you today. May I bring something special to this church today, Lord God. I praise you and thank you, Lord God, for the opportunity you've given me to be here. And I thank you and praise you in your holy name. Amen. God, thank you. God has three expectations from us. In verse 28 of the first chapter, it says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it. And then Isaiah in 47:7, the Bible says, everyone who is called by my name and whom I have created for my glory, whom I have formed, ever whom I have made, that they would just bring glory to God, to procreate, to bring glory to his name. And lastly, that we would abide in his presence and grow in his likeness. I like that, and I like the fact that Christ does that in our life. in creating human life. It was not an afterthought for God, but God created us in the likeness of Himself. It's awesome that He could have created us in a lot of different forms and a lot of different things, but for some reason, God in His awesomeness decided He wanted to create us in His likeness. The law of the harvest is what we just read. And the law of the harvest is that everything produces after itself. You plant an apple seed, you get an apple tree. You plant an orange seed, you get oranges. Everything comes after that. The fact that a man or woman reaps what they sow is the same concept. Whatever it is that you sow is what you reap. You may not reap it in the same season, but you'll reap it eventually. But everything produces after itself. And so now that I brought you that little far right there, it says this in the Word of God in Romans 8 and 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestine to be us to be conformed in the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren." So the Lord is asking us, you and I, that we would be predestined, that we would be conformed in the image of His Son Jesus. And that's what He's called us to be. The beautiful thing is that when you and I come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, He plants within you and I the seed of the image of Jesus Christ. That seed is planted in us as the Holy Spirit comes to take residence within ourselves. It's the same thing as when the Virgin Mary was giving birth to the Lord Jesus. When she became pregnant, the Holy Spirit overshadowed her, planted within her the seed of Christ, and she produced the man-child, the Lord Jesus Christ. The same concept works in your life and mine, only in a spiritual way, that same Holy Spirit, the same seed of the image of Jesus Christ, is planted within us. All the possibilities of what you and I can become in Christ Jesus is in that seed. You look at a beautiful rose, its fragrance, the beautiful colors, and just how cool those things are. I love red roses. My mom owned a flower shop, so I drove around a truck a lot of time with a lot of smelly things, and it was just really cool. But they smell beautiful. Nobody had to paint it. Nobody had to put perfume on it. It's just the way God made it. And the complicated seed, you look at, like I showed one time at the rescue mission, a seed from an apple tree, just a simple little seed. Inside of that is all sorts of biological, chemical things that have to work out for that to work out and grow to become an apple tree. And the same thing is true for you and I. That seed that Christ has within us is to conform us into the image of Christ, that we may reproduce who Christ is in this world and become what Christ has called us to be. And the beautiful thing about that is there's all the possibilities in that, that we could become something far greater, far different than you and I could ever have thought or imagined. Because in that seed are things that you and I do not know about ourselves. The Lord has planted that seed within me. And in myself and who I am in Mike Herbert, when that seed came into my life back at the age of 33, I'm not that much older now, just a little. But anyway, when that seed came and was planted within me, I had never envisioned in my life that I would do prison ministry, never envisioned in my life that I would be doing the nursing homes, that I would be doing the Milwaukee Rescue Mission, that I would be here, that I would be doing the things that I do. I never envisioned in a million years that I would be doing these things. But the Lord God, when He planted that seed within me, that possibility was there. Now, the tricky thing is this. In order for a seed to be able to grow, first of all, it needs to be planted in fertile ground. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you'll never know what the possibilities of what Christ could do in your life until that fertile ground is broken up within you and you allow the Holy Spirit to work. One of my favorite authors and writers and preachers of all time is A.W. Tozier. He spent many years here in Chicago. And I really loved him when I was just young in the Lord. He said, fertile ground is ground that has all the possibilities of becoming something, but nobody's doing nothing with it. It's just laying there. And so fertile ground is just that. And when that seed is planted on fertile ground, that good ground, as you read in Matthew chapter 13 with the four different types of soil conditions, then it has a chance to grow. But in that, it needs to have water in order to be able to germinate and to be able to grow. And in that, it needs to have the Holy Spirit of God to be able to send the water, the living water, through it. It needs the Word of God to continue to bring nourishment to it. But it also needs what we call photosynthesis. It's a big word. I like it. But we need to have light. And the light of the world is Jesus Christ. And as we draw closer to Christ, as we allow the Holy Spirit to work in us, as we allow the Word of God to take place and refuge in our heart and seek the Lord through the Word of God, that's when the seed decides to crack open. That's the time when the seed decides to be able to grow. All along the way, though, there's hardship, there's difficulty, there are different seasons of life. There are different things that happen in a person's life to cause either fast growth, slow growth, or no growth. It all depends. But we know this. 1 Peter 1 and 23 says, we are being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. 1 Peter 1 and 23. This is the seed of Christ that you and I have. It's incorruptible. It's a seed given from heaven. And if you know Jesus Christ, you have that seed planted within you. The thing is that I get so excited about is that new people in Christ sometimes will take off and they're doing all these amazing things, and yet you could have somebody that's been in the church forever sitting in a pew, nothing ever happens to them. And I said, Lord, why is that so? And the Lord revealed is because the one who just got saved is allowing the Holy Spirit to work in their life. They're allowing that seed to be able to germinate. They're allowing that seed to be able to work in their life so that that seed will break open and that beautiful, beautiful flower of a rose will be able to grow out through that. Whereas the one who may be sitting there for years said, I'm not letting that Holy Spirit work in me. I'm not letting that Jesus Christ do more in me than any more of what I'm doing right now. This is the way I've always done it. This is the way it's going to be done. The Lord says, no. No. Surrender your life to me. Let me open you up. Let me do something in your life. Some people, and it's amazing to me, are so content with just doing things every day, this way, this way, this way. And the Lord says, I've got so much more for you. I got so much more I want to do in your life. If you allow that seed to open up, I will show you. So we can be the hindrance of our own troubles. We can be the difficulty of our own thing. The Bible says this in Romans 8 and 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed into the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And another follow-up verse that goes along with that with 2 Corinthians 2 and 18. And we all, who are unveiled faces, contemplate the glory which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. It's the same principle in both of those, that we are to be made and conformed to the image of Christ. And how that becomes is up to you, and it's up to me if we allow the Lord to work in our lives. We can hinder the work. We could say no to the Holy Spirit. We could say no to abiding with Christ. We could say no to getting closer with Him, and that's all we'll ever be. But in it all, the Lord has called us to be winners, to be successful. God has never set out for you and I to do anything that He does not want us to be successful in. when he plants the seed within your heart and mine, he wants to see success. He wants us to see all that that seed has in it would come to fruition, that everything that was in that seed for you and I to accomplish would be accomplished in our lifetime. And again, it may not be at the same time. In fact, it will be a different time. There are different seasons. I look at a farmer as a farmer grows and develops a crop in his field. And first he plants it, and then he waters it, but then he prays. And he prays if he's a good farmer. My uncle owned a farm in Minnesota, and I worked at a farm as a little kid, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. But the farmer first must plant and grow that beautiful, beautiful seed that it may come. But the farmer knows the plans he has for that field. He knows what he wants that field to yield. And the Lord says this in Psalms 139 and 14. The Psalm of David says, I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret. Oh, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed in for me, when as yet there was none of them. So David knew that the Lord had already knew what he wanted him to be, what he called him to be, what he gifted him to be, and what he wanted him to be successful in. And if he just did that, he would be successful for the kingdom of God. A farmer also has to check the soil and has to check to make sure the soil is fine. But so does Christ, Hosea 10 and 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness upon you. The farmer fertilizes the plants because he realizes that the weeds and the tares, if he plants them right by the very precious plants that he is growing, could suck all the nutrients out. And that's where the battle is that I talk about. There's a battle between our flesh and that old nature, that old man, and the new nature that we got. The old nature wants to suck all the nutrients out of that seed so that it never becomes what it wants to. It wants to do its own thing, but there is a constant battle there. But the Lord says, if you root yourself and ground yourself in the Word of God. If you root yourself in the working of the Holy Spirit within your life, you can overcome because your roots will be deep. Hebrews 12, 1-3 says, wherefore, seeing that we are also compassed with such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so does easily beset us, and let us run with perseverance or patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. And I got to put verse 3 in there. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. And so it is that we have a struggle. But the Bible says, cast that weight aside. Cast all that flesh aside. Let that seed germinate. Let that seed become all that Christ has intended it to be. Let it become everything that God wants you to have it to be. So that when you come to a time, and I come to a time, if we're not raptured out of here, the Lord takes us home, people could come to your funeral and they could say, wow. If only people would say one word at my funeral and that was wow. That would be fine with me. That we just had a funeral for a friend of ours at the rescue mission, spent 15 years there. There were like 200 people that weren't even family and friends. They were just people that he affected. And you see, that's for him. Well, God has a plan for you. God has a seed. And in that seed that he has planted with you, he takes your talents, he takes your gifts, he takes your makeup, who you are, your personality. He wires it to your heart. He wires it to your soul. He wires it to your mind. And all those things he takes into play. And the good news is God makes no mistakes. What God is planning within you is so awesome and is so great. And many people have gone. I looked at the Reinhard Bonnke when he left Germany and he started to do what he did. That seed planted in that man, God said, that's what I want you to do. I bet you he never envisioned that he was going to be able to do what he did. I remember a story about Charles Spurgeon when they asked him if he would take a church on, and he ran. He says, I can't do that. They said, God says, Moses, I wanted you to take these children. I can't do it. I can't talk. But the seed planted within him says, yes, you can. Gideon says, I'm the least in my family. I'm the least in my house. I can't do what you're calling me to do, Lord. But the Lord says, you know what, Gideon? I put a seed in you and I gave you new life. You can do it. You see, the Lord has put things in our life to be able to help us to accomplish what he's put in us. And we may not even know that we have it. We may not even think we have it. But if we give our life to the Lord, say, Lord, I just surrender who I am. I just say, Lord, here I am. Take me in who I am. Make me the person you want me to be. Teens, you have a wonderful opportunity to reach this generation. A wonderful, wonderful opportunity to reach the people. The one thing that I run across all the time, every prison I go to 3 maximum security prisons, 1 medium, and 1 minimum. But all of the prisoners say the same thing. They need direction. They need to know that there is more to life than what they were doing that got them there. The men at the rescue mission, same scenario, same story. There's more to life than what got you at the rescue mission. See, they will expound everything they have, give everything they have, and turn their life over to anything that will give them satisfaction, that will give them happiness and peace and joy in their life. They will spend all their money. They will rob, kill, and destroy to be able to grab that money to be able to make it happen. They'll exhaust all the possibilities of what they have in order to find life and find happiness. And they will do anything and everything in desperation to find that void in their life, to make it filled. But in the end, you, whether you're a teenager, you're a young adult, it doesn't matter how old you are, you have the answer. In Jesus Christ. Amen? I get a little excited. The farmer prays for the plant to be mature and that the harvest time would come. Jesus does the same thing. It says in John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life, not just life to live, but he says that they may have it more abundantly. And I like the words here of Solomon in Ecclesiastes 7 and 8. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And the patient in the spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Jesus called Peter the rock. And he called him the rock before Peter was actually that. And that was because Jesus saw in Peter what he would go through was hard. It would be difficult. But in the end, after the denial, when he would restore him, that he would be bold in his power and his strength, and that he would be able to preach that message of Pentecost with boldness and fullness, and like was read today and heard today in Acts 2, how he was able to stand up before the men and says, listen, it's Jesus Christ. It is all Jesus Christ. But see, Christ knew what was in his heart. And Christ knew what was in the seed of Peter, that if he just conformed to the Holy Spirit, that if he just continued to read the Word, that he continued to draw close to Christ, that Peter would eventually come out of that seed. He would come out of that shell, that he would be able to cut through that and go forward and higher and become that man to be able to preach that message. I have seen countless people who came to Christ and I had personally led to the Lord. They were scared. They were afraid. Their own shadows. But once the Lord grabbed hold of them and saved their souls and they started getting into the Word, they allowed the Holy Spirit to work. And as they grew closer to Christ, their boldness was incredible. And now you can't stop them for Jesus. I see it all the time in Christ. because I could see that that shell absolutely needs to be cracked open. You look at the caterpillars. The caterpillar comes to weave that cocoon and wrap itself up in there. It struggles, it fights, but eventually it cracks open and a beautiful butterfly comes out of that. It's the same thing with the seed that Christ plants within you and I. We struggle, we fight, we wrestle with ourselves, with our old nature, with everything that goes on in life. But if we keep on the track, as I read in the book of Hebrews, if we continue on that road, the Lord will continue to work in our lives. We will continue to build our roots deep into the ground, that the plant that comes out of us will burst through the ground, will be beautiful. You look at the mustard seed. It's a small little seed, but when it's planted and the Lord works in that mustard seed, you look at that beautiful tree. It's a beautiful example of what happens. The root system works incredibly, and it is awesome to see what the Lord is able to do. Acts 4:10 says, "Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand before you whole." Peter once denied Christ 3 times, and when Christ gave him that revelation that he was going to be a man that was going to be a rock, this statement came out of his mouth as he was talking to the Sanhedrin, as he was talking to the religious rulers, as he was talking to the people that he would once run from and hide from because he was afraid what might happen to him. He comes to the point in his life, like you and I come to a point in our life, it doesn't matter. If people like us, hallelujah. If they don't, I hope it's not our fault, but we love Jesus. If we love Jesus so much and the love of Christ is bubbling through you, that love will melt away hurts. It will melt away pains. It will melt away difficult times in people's lives. It will melt away the sorrows and the hardships that people have. And it's through that love that people can overcome difficulties in their life. They can overcome tragedies in their life. One of the things that I deal with a lot, especially lately, are women who have had terrible times growing up or being married. And just through the love of Christ working in them melts away the pain of the past hurts in their life. And I know that the Lord is able to do that. But the seed of Christ, as it's planted within you, has all the possibilities in it of what God has called you to become. Everything that God wants for you and so much more is in that seed. And if you allow it to work in your life and you say, "Lord, here I am, take me. Do what you have to do in my life that I may become the man or woman of God that you called me to be." I guarantee this, you will do things that you never thought you would ever be able to do. You will accomplish things that you never thought you would accomplish. And you'll look back and you say, "I can't believe I'm doing that now. I can't believe I'm doing it now." And the Lord's looking at you and he's saying, "I put the seed in you. I know what's in there." The Lord's not surprised. He marvels, though. He marvels because you and I set our hearts on fire for him. And we let him take hold of us and say, "Lord, use us." You can reach a sphere of people I cannot reach. You can do things for Christ that I cannot do. I reach the little segment of people I have, but you have family, you have co-workers, you have classmates, you have friends, associates, people that you are around with. God's calling you to evangelize them. God's calling you to touch their hearts. God's calling you to be able to reach out to them. And the beautiful thing is, as I encourage you guys before I close, he's giving you all that you need to do it. All you got to do is say, "Lord," it's like my dear brother said, I don't care. I don't care if my voice is good or not. If you ever heard me sing at the Rescue Mission, you'd run. I sing in the key of J, and it hasn't been found on the piano yet. Honest to God, I sing in the key of J. But you know what? a friend of mine, a coworker at work, said, you know what the problem is, Mike? He says, you're singing on the Lord because you love him. And there are many gifted people who won't sing to the Lord. They won't lift a finger to do anything for the Lord. And they have the talent. You see, they have a seed that they're leaving dormant in their life. They won't let it grow, and they won't let it do anything. I'm going to close here with a story. And then I brought my anointing oil with. This is a Pentecostal church. I think I can get away with this. I got to watch where I'm at sometimes. But I brought oil, and if anybody wants to be anointed, that the Lord would work deeply in their hearts and break open that shell and allow them to become all that he wants them to become. I'm more than happy to anoint you with oil. But I close with this story. There was an executive who, CEO that was retiring, and he was allowing a number of the people that are up, the junior executives, to take his place. And he came into a conference room, and I don't know, there are men and women, and there were about eight of them, and he gave them each a seed. He said, go home, and I want you to plant this seed. And so they went home, and they planted the seed. And it was shortly after that that many of the junior executives were talking amongst each other, and they were growing these beautiful plants, beautiful flowers. By leaps and bounds, they were beautiful. But there was one Christian man that was in the room, and his seed wasn't doing anything. It wasn't growing at all. And he went home to his wife, and his wife said, what's the problem? He said, well, all the other junior executives have got these beautiful plants and flowers and beautiful things, and I don't have anything. It's not doing anything. He says, maybe I should go down to the flower shop there and grab some plant and say it's this one. His wife said, you're a Christian man. You can't do that. You just need to stick to your guns and do what's right. And so the day finally come, and the junior executives, 6 months later, all came into the room, and they were supposed to bring their plants and their whatever their seed was supposed to grow into. And they came into the room, and the CEO walked in, and he saw all these plants. He saw all these beautiful things. And the junior executive started laughing at the Christian man because he had absolutely nothing. It didn't grow to be absolutely nothing. And the CEO looked at all the junior executives, and he says, I see that you've all brought what I gave you for a seed and planted it. Now, this is what you have. He said to the Christian man as he was there, he says, sir, I want you to be the new CEO. And he said, well, why? The rest of them started complaining. He says, well, why do you want him to be the CEO? Look at him. He hasn't grown anything. And the CEO said this. He said, I took all your seeds before I gave them to you, and I cooked them in the microwave. They were all dead. Not a single one of them had any life to them at all. The seed that was planted in the Christian man blossomed and bloomed beyond the ridicule, beyond the harassment, beyond the making fun out of, the belittling, because his plant wouldn't grow. He stuck to what the Word of God said. He stuck to what the Holy Spirit gave him. And he stuck to his relationship with Christ and then let the other things in his life affect him. And as he did that, he was able to confidently walk in that room and says, I just did what I was supposed to do, and I am just being truthful with what happened. And the CEO said, that's the man I want to be CEO. A man who can handle adversity, a man who can handle difficulty, and a man who's truthful. And the rest of them didn't get the job because they all went to the store and they all bought flowers and arrangements, and they just bought them, brought them in, hoping that the biggest and greatest was going to get them the job. You see, God honors the man or woman or child who gives their life over to him, that allows the seed to grow within them and blossom into a person with wisdom, knowledge, and the ability to have discernment and the ability to be able to go out into the four walls of this beautiful church that you have here and to be able to reach the lost. You may be the only Bible they'll ever be able to read. You may be the only person that they will ever know that's a Christian. I can't tell you how many times, especially at the rescue mission, I will talk to somebody, give them the gospel, they're gone. I never see them again. I had a man, as I close, true story, came to a saving knowledge of Christ. He was coming from Florida, and he was on his way to California. He lost his ticket, and he ended up in Milwaukee at the rescue mission to tell somebody would be able to wire him more money to be able to get another ticket to make it. He spent 2 days at the mission, didn't know why he was there. I gave the gospel of Jesus Christ to him. He received the Lord. And as he was walking out, he says, "You have no idea why I am here, but my ticket was lost. And I am here because I was waiting for somebody to wire money. If I wouldn't have lost that ticket, I never would have came to salvation. I would have never known Jesus Christ." So he thanks God that he lost his ticket. If you want to come up for oil as I close, come up and then I'd be more than happy to anoint you. Lord, we just come before you. We thank you and praise you. I lift up every soul that is in this place right now, Lord. Lord, you know their hearts. You know their situations. Lord, you know their strengths. You know their weaknesses. Lord, you know who they are. You know everything about them. And Lord, you put this message on my heart that the seed that's planted within them would grow. It's not my message, Lord, it's yours. I can't make something come out of a seed shell, but you can. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for the message that you gave. And I ask you, Lord God, that you would anoint every person in this room. Father, that you would move mightily and bountifully in every heart. And Father, that you would make every opportunity for the seed of Christ that's planted within them to blossom and grow by leaps and bounds, a beautiful fragrance of a rose, a beautiful looking of a beautiful rose. And Lord God, all the intricate characteristics of a complicated seed, Lord God, you gave to every single one. And we praise you and thank you, Lord God, for that. Amen, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if, Father, we just ask you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you right now, Lord God, you would fill Barbara right now, Lord God. Father, if there's anything in the name of Jesus that would be preventing that seed from sprouting and growing to what it needs to become, Lord God, you'd reveal it and that you would make that go away, Lord God, that you would help her to overcome. In the name of Jesus, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we declare that this beautiful woman, Lord God, would be all that you intended. We declare, Lord God, that no works of Satan will be able to enter in. And we declare in the mighty name of Jesus that she will be your vessel in this day and age to be used for the praise of your glory, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.